live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Kirk Cousins is obviously going to be available. I found a ranking of where he would be the most effective. They have the Broncos number one. I'm kind of wondering if the window hasn't really closed on that particular group of Broncos. The team they have two on the list is the one that I think he would make an instant Super Bowl contender, because they already are a Super Bowl contender, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I feel like if you put him on Minnesota...
They're not on the list, but I think that would make the most sense.
To me, that's the number one.
Reportedly, LeBron James would be open to meeting with a certain team in free agency. The Golden State Warriors.
Yes, that's what I was hoping for.
Why would you hope for that? There would be no reason to watch any games.
NBA regular season's boring anyway.
It is. The playoffs would be boring too. There'd be no
playoffs. Are already boring. You know who's going to win every year.
Pretty much, but at least you have hope that, like what the Cavs did a couple years ago, you think, okay, they might choke this year. They're probably not going to choke, but you put them on there, there's no way they lose.
Good. Let's see a dynasty.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero in the snow, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, which those of you who we welcome in on SportsMap 94.1 did, all available at podcastarena.com. Go and check it out. Lots of good stuff there. I know I said I didn't want to do sports, but can we retire Tony Dungy from commenting on things?
I wish. I've been trying to do that for a long time.
I think it's time to put this guy out to pasture. I don't know if you saw this, but he thinks the 1950 Cleveland Browns are better than the Patriots dynasty.
Which Cleveland Browns?
The 1950s.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, too.
Yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday, except I wasn't alive yet. But I did go and research it. And in the 1950s, do you know how many teams were in the NFL, first off?
Four.
There were 12 teams.
12, okay.
13 teams at one point.
Tony Dungy was five.
Yeah.
He knows.
He's about Otto Graham.
Oh, no. Tony Dungy wasn't even born yet, 1955.
Really?
Yeah.
So, 13-team league, leather helmet, no salary cap.
Yeah, they'd beat them head-to-head now, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And guess how many playoff games? Well, in the 1940s, they won three straight championships. You know how many playoff games they had to play to win their championship?
How many?
One.
Listen, I hate to break it to everyone out there that's old and romanticizes their team being the greatest. Like... think about this. Michael Jordan's Bulls. I know everyone likes to talk about it. The current Golden State Warriors would beat Michael Jordan's Bulls. The current Patriots would beat the Joe Montana era 49ers. The current Astros, hell, the current Astros might beat the 27 Yankees, because it's just a different era and athletes are better now. They're bigger, faster, stronger than they were.
Right.
Now, it's not to say that against their peers, these teams are better. But if you could have a time machine and line them up man to man, athletes now in today's world are bigger and faster and stronger than they've ever been. They're better. People don't like to hear that.
Well, and Dungy's not even accurate, because this team was better in the 40s. And that's when the league just started. So, I mean, come on. They won five straight from 46 to 50. They never had to win more than two playoff games to win a championship. And then they won again in 54 and 55, and that's it until 64.
Wait. You don't think a 14-20 interception to touchdown to interception ratio is good?
Oh, for that? Then it was great.
You don't think a 64.7 quarterback rating is good?
I'm sure it was great. And by the way... There's 32 teams now. You know how hard that is? And a salary cap? Come on, Tony Dungy. I think it's... you know what? I think it's time to put him down.
I would argue for the 49ers in the 80s.
Well, you can make
maybe.
That, you can make that argument better than you can this. This is just, 1950. Give me a bleeping break. That's like trying to argue those Celtics teams were the greatest of all time,
right,
and they were playing in an 8-team league. Get out of here with that. Let's, and people try to they way overrate these teams. They also they try to protect the past.
Oh, that's the problem. That's the problem.
And I'm not saying like everything is better now, but come on.
Like here's the and you know people don't want to hear it again, but Adrian Peterson in his prime was a better football player than Jim Brown in his prime. People don't want to hear that because Jim Brown's the GOAT, but it's just the reality. That's why I always like, and you know what? 20 years from now, there's going to be some guy come along who's better than LeBron James. And I probably won't be working in radio 20 years from now, but if I am, I'll say, well, I saw LeBron James play. He was great, but this guy's bigger and faster and stronger than him. And he's just better, you know? And that's what I try to tell people about the Jordan-LeBron thing. Nobody wants to hear it, though, because they're so protective of that.
It's because that's who they grew up with.
Yes.
And he was in Space Jam. And he could do no wrong. Donald said, going to Delta Downs tomorrow. Throw me a bone. I haven't looked at Delta. Right now, while Sam Houston's going, I'm basically handicapping 40 races a week on that. So that's my focus right now. But my picks will be on the website for Sam Houston. So you can bet those on the simulcast, but I apologize. I just don't have time to do Delta Downs right now. If I do it, it's always last minute and I'm doing it at home and it's basically usually 5 minutes before the race starts. So I don't go and do those cards in advance. I'd love to help you, but, all my focus on handicapping is Sam Houston right now.
Yeah.
Somebody said keyboard cat for Dungy. Yeah, that would have been fair. But yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about the Patriots having the best dynasty in NFL history now. Maybe the 49ers you can make a case for, but yeah, and teams like the Steelers and Cowboys, they were completely different eras.
Yeah.
So you can't really combine those. It's like you had the Tom Landry Cowboys and then you had the Jimmy Johnson Cowboys. Had the Chuck Knoll Steelers. And see, I honestly don't think you can compare anything from the pre-salary cap era either because you could afford to pay all those guys. You can't do it anymore. Cowboys were able to keep all those guys up until, what, 93, I think, is when the cap started. Okay, I can't read the name there. Is it Javon?
Javon.
Let's hear from Javon.
Hey, guys. I just had a comment. I was wondering, I don't know when the NFL integrated, but saying that the Cleveland Browns are the best team or even allowing African Americans in the league at that point, it's kind of hard to have any greatest team from the era before pre-integration.
Yeah, that's kind of what I always say about about baseball and things like that.
It's like 27 like, Yankees.
Yeah. They didn't play against black guys. And that's why, you know, when everyone tells me how great George Mikan was, I was like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, George Mikan was dominating the NBA when there were no black guys in it. Good for him. That doesn't make him the greatest. Doesn't make him better than Shaq. Because let me tell you, if Shaq showed up when George Mikan was playing, George Mikan might not have looked so dominant. But people don't want to hear that stuff. Well, I didn't say it.
It was pretty close.
That was close. All that right. was like S. Yeah. That was the first three words. First three letters.
All right.
Oh, well. Don't forget you have a beer in the freezer.
That's true.
I can't tell you how many times I do that and forget it, and then it explodes. That happened to me with an energy drink the other day. And I left it in the freezer, and I got home. And as soon as I opened the freezer, I was getting something out of there. I realized, oh, bleep, that thing's been in there for 12 hours, and it exploded.
So, I'll go get it during this next break.
What can you do? Hey, guys, you can go to Lions Poker. Lions Poker Palace. And they've got so many cool things going on there. Tournament tonight, of course. $3,000 guaranteed to the winner. How about this? How about you're looking for Super Bowl plans? They got a doubleheader, two tournaments on Super Bowl Sunday. $80 no-limit tournament and a $300 pot limit Omaha tournament. And there's $3,000 guaranteed to first place on the no-limit tournament. There's $7,500 guaranteed to first in your pot limit Omaha tournament. And in any hold'em tournament you play, you're going to earn points. And if you play in it, you get a point. If you make the final table, you get 4 points. And the cool thing about that is after Sunday, June 10th, the top 30 are going to play in a free roll. And the top 10 of those are going to Vegas for the main event. is sponsored by Lions Poker, and the other 20 are going to get $1,000. So every time you play, you pick up points. And guys, if you haven't been there, this place is amazing. This is a great program they have going. Their tournaments are terrific. It's my favorite place in the city to play poker.
Yeah, it's an awesome spot. You're not going to go hungry. They got a full late night kitchen. They're open 7 days a week. They've got tournaments 7 days a week, in fact. They've got tables all over the place, TVs all over the place. You're going to love this spot. Follow them on Facebook at Lions Poker Palace. You find all the tournament and event information there, or you can just stop by and see it for yourself. 6134 Richmond Avenue. Mention that you heard about them here on our show. You'll get the first 2 hours of play for free. That's Lions Poker Palace, 6134 Richmond Avenue.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Hey everyone, a huge weekend in sports is coming up. And if you've been looking for an online sports book where you can play all the games, then pull out your phone and Shazam this commercial right now using the Shazam app for exclusive offers from BetDSI.com. BetDSI is giving away a free $25 wager if you use promo code SBG25 or simply just Shazam this commercial right now. You'll get instant access to register, play, win, and get paid on everything from football to reality TV. If it moves, DSI puts odds on it. So Shazam this commercial right now for instant access to BetDSI.com and get a free $25 wager on the house and 100% extra bonus when you deposit. Use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. Shazam now or use promo code SBG25 to get your free wager and start winning today at BetDSI.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Montz says, I simply do not judge players that didn't watch plays. Going back and looking at highlight reels is lame for basis of conclusion. I agree. I just kind of go back and look at, okay, who they play against for their era. And to me, 8-team leagues and 10-team leagues, it's not the same thing. And it's real easy to get a dominant team that's going to last for a long time. So, but I do think, you know, you have to look at eras. And this is certainly the most impressive of this era. And the fact that it's gone on for 17 years, I think, is longer than anybody else. So I think it's the most impressive. Texas Race Fans says Acing Racing would help that guy a handicap Delta Downs. That is true.
Yeah.
Download that audiobook. All right, let's squeeze in a couple calls. Imran.
Hey, Fred. Hey, AJ. How y'all doing?
We're doing sports, Imran.
Okay, now, I kind of joined the conversation a little late. I just got out of work, so I don't know if I'm speaking out of context over here, but... when it comes to comparing old players to the players that we have today, and like I'm only 35 and I'm an immigrant, so I just started watching football about 20 years ago. So what I have seen in the past 20 years, the game was a bit more physical back then than it is now. So, I mean, wouldn't that make it a little bit more difficult to say that players today are, like, you know, better than players in the past? I'll hang up and listen.
No. That is a fair point, and Dustin mentioned something similar about, I don't know if Brady survives the 80s and NFL rules that didn't protect quarterbacks and wide receivers. That is one big difference. They did allow cornerbacks to hang on to you the whole game, and there were more physical plays, but they've also gone away from the headhunting for a while. I mean, but that's why if you look at quarterback percentages, it's not really fair. When you look, you see Joe Namath was what, under 50%,
right?
And upside down on touchdowns to interceptions, all those guys in the 70s were, because, you know, defensive backs could tackle your receivers. And yeah, they didn't throw the flag as often when you hit the quarterback, but you know, they also ran the ball a lot more. It was a very different kind of game, but it's a fair point. All right, Larry, you were on the Blitz. Go, sir.
You were talking about Molly's game last week, and I would recommend the movie. I don't play poker, so you might have a different reaction to it, but I thought the script, there were other movies like Social Network, A Few Good Men, and Steve Jobs. I thought Sorkin's scripts were sharper in those movies, but it was still worth seeing. And I don't know if R.J. Bell, you might ask him if he's seen the movie, if, what his reaction would be to it.
What movie are you talking about?
Molly's Game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. I'm looking forward to it. It's on my list, definitely. But, I don't know. 713-780-ESPN. I can't judge it until I see it. And I've heard mixed reviews from poker friends. Mostly positive, though. 979 asks, are they still talking about not letting T.O. in the Hall of Fame? Just lame thoughts. Both of us are on record as saying that he should be in. But I don't like his chances. Until we kill off a few more of these old guys, I don't know. I mean, they make a pretty strong case against him. In the Hall of Fame in football works very differently because you go and you have to, people have to stand up and make the case why you should make it.
Yeah, which is stupid.
Yeah, like and John McClain's told me about this before, and he, like when Lawrence Taylor got in, there were a lot of people that didn't want to put Lawrence Taylor in because of the off-field stuff. And John's a guy that stood up and said, it made this impassioned plea for Lawrence Taylor and pretty much sold everybody on why he should be in. That's a guy you should never have to have a conversation about. Lawrence Taylor, okay, check.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
Maybe the best defensive player in the history of football.
Yeah. Is there anything else we need to talk about here? No. Oh, but off the field, he did this.
It's old as perfection.
Yeah. The things they talk about that have nothing to do with, oh, he was terrible in the locker room and he was this and he was this. It's like, okay, if that's your standard, I don't like his chances of getting in.
Yeah.
God, I was complaining about all these doing all sports, and guess what? We've done nothing but sports.
Yeah, it's been pretty sportsy.
Yeah. Do you have anything non-sportsy? I mean, I know you got Hoffman on Hollywood later. But
yeah, I do have that. Let me see what else I've got.
While you're thinking about that, here's another possible. Here's a wild card, totally out of nowhere, Kirk Cousins rumor for you.
Okay.
What if Brady wins and decides to retire?
Ooh.
Would the Patriots not be a good fit if Belichick's staying there?
They'd have to be. And that'd have to be his number one choice.
Yeah, wouldn't it? You would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was also sports.
But the downside to that is, nobody wants to be the guy who follows up Tom Brady.
Yeah, but you know Belichick's going to want to prove he could win one without him. I mean, I don't think he's going to retire. I think the guy wants to play forever.
Yeah.
But just a thought. Hey, I don't know if you saw this. You're a fan of Dogfish Head, right?
Yeah.
They have a new beer called In Your Mace.
Okay.
John, you will like this. This is about you. It's got the... He's not listening.
It's yeah, okay.
He's over there in the
room. To hell with him.
It's got the same ingredients used in pepper spray they used in the beer. It's a coffee milk stout brewed with cinnamon verum chips from the Zanzibar Islands, mace spice, milk sugars, coffee, chicory, and most importantly, chili oils, the active ingredient in mace brand.
You got it in my mouth.
Oh, he is listening.
Would drink or wouldn't drink?
I would, yeah.
I would too. Jong, would you? Or would it be too, it would bring back too many bad memories?
No, I wouldn't drink.
Okay.
Maybe if you didn't tell me what it was.
Well, I think when you look at the front of it and it says In Your Mace, it's probably a good indication that it's got something like that in it. I'd try that, sure.
Yeah.
I know.
They do some weird things, but I would definitely try it.
I mean, it might suck, but I'd rather you try something and have it suck than just do the same old stuff. I like breweries that take chances. That's a pretty good chance. Okay, that's two.
Oh, my.
That was probably a record one. Probably a record one.
Sorry, guys.
All right, let's do a phone call. Thomas or Tomas. or Thomas. What's up, Thomas?
Hello.
Hey, now.
So, I've been wanting to talk about this idea I had for an 18 playoff, and I know I'm a little late, but I figured I'd call in, see if I can get in and get the idea off my chest. Basically, top five power conference, power five winners of their conference would get the 1 through 5 seed in order of their final ranking, and then the next three seeds would get the 6 through 8 ranking with kind of a clause, sort of like what Notre Dame had when they had the BCS rotation, where if they finished a certain ranking in the final polls, then they were guaranteed a bid, but more like a undefeated clause for the smaller schools that go undefeated that says that they're guaranteed at least the 8 seed, and then do the basic playoff format where you do home and away games until the championship game, keep the 6-game New Year's rotation, and have one be a host site for the winner, or, you know, for the championship game. So that's my idea. Want to know what you guys think? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, listen, you're barking up the wrong tree with me. I feel like 4 is plenty. I feel like every year the best team wins, and eventually it works itself out. And I think watering down, it, almost inevitably, if you go with the top 8 teams every year, you're going to have 1, 2, maybe 3 teams that have 2 losses. And to me, if you lose 2 games over the course of a college football season, you're probably not the national champion. I mean, sorry. Try again next year. So, to me, 4 is good. And I've kind of softened on my stance that we only need 2. You know, I like.
Well, I still think that was just dumb. And
I think that 4. I mean, the way every once in a while will a team get left out that people may think is deserving? Sure. Ohio State this year is an example, but how about this? Don't lose 2 games. You know, I don't. If you lose 2 or more games, I don't feel bad if you're not the national champion in college football.
And I think his point was to try to get UCF in there, which
I don't need that either.
I'd have been okay with it, but the reality is, I mean, and I hate to be the one to break this to you, but it's not the first time I've heard somebody suggest an 18 playoff. I know that was, you know, but. I'm okay with them doing it, but the playing home games thing, it'd never fly. And, I mean, the bowls have to be a part of that. And that's why it's set up the way it is. And, frankly, they would be neutral site games. There's no way in hell you'd ever do home field games for your playoffs. It's just the bowls have too much power.
Yep.
I'm okay with going to 8. I'm okay with the 5 champs automatically getting a spot, and then the highest rated non-power 5, and then 2 of the best power 5s as wild cards. But, you know, I also am okay with 4. I mean, I'm happy with 4 right now because it actually works. It's a hell of a lot better than 2, even though I know AJ loves that because he just, I'm going to pick 2 teams and here we go.
I'll just tell you the 2 best teams and let them play.
And I think that's dumb because, you know.
Which I said I've softened on.
I know.
Okay.
But that's the same as saying, okay, you know, let's just take the Patriots and Seahawks and pick them to play in the Super Bowl and not have playoffs.
Right.
But I've kind of come around, like I was always pro 18 playoff. And yes, people have also suggested a 16 playoff with 2 byes. We've heard that one before too. I don't want to say I'm coming around to AJ's way of thinking, but I've softened on sticking at 4.
So we're maybe meeting in the middle here.
Sort of, yeah. Maybe 4 is the compromise.
Maybe 4. I think 4 is. So, Young, you okay with 4?
I'm okay with 4.
Then let's put it in the books.
Well, it's in the books.
Officially now, 4-team playoffs in college football.
So the Blitz declares 4-team playoffs.
All right. Yes.
We approve.
It's Blitz approved?
Yep.
Okay, that's it then. It's done. We're not having the discussion.
We don't want to hear any more about it.
Wait, AJ, what about a 16-team playoff?
Yeah, listen, you want to you want a team in from your crappy conference? Make the conference better.
What about a top 25 team playoff?
No.
48.
No. You want teams? I was so mad.
12.
I was so mad when the NCAA switched it to 68 teams. I was like, dude, okay, so there's 4 teams now that aren't going to get at large bids. Okay, whatever. I mean, there's more conference. I don't care. Just make it 64. Keep it simple for me. 4 is perfect for college football, I think, now.
I think it. So far, there hasn't been a team that I said they really got screwed.
Every year, the team that deserves to win has won. There's never been a year where after seeing the playoff games, I've thought, man, that seven seed probably could have beat them. It just hasn't happened.
Oh, yeah. The year TCU and Baylor got in, didn't get in. Yeah. And Ohio State did. They would have gotten rolled by Ohio State that year. All right. So we have decided. There you go. Put it in your notebook. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we're back on The Blitz. Hey, John, I got something that'll help you with your podcast.
What's that?
Did you see the story that I put on there about Wesley Snipes talking about apparently there was a... He was trying to do a Black Panther about 20 years ago.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and it's very fascinating. The story's kind of...
And then he decided to do Major League instead?
No, he
went... Or decided to go to prison for tax evasion.
You leave him alone. Wesley Snipes one of my favorite actors back then.
You just love Blade.
I love Blade, which is what this kind of leads up to. But he was great in New Jack City. Come on, man. Nino Brown.
But he was a tax evader, we have to admit.
The government screwed him. I'm not gonna dog anybody on tax evasion. I've dealt with the IRS long enough to, you know, suck at IRS. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm almost caught up with you guys. But he was in some fun. White Men Can't Jump. Passenger 57 was good. Demolition Man. But he was really hot right then. So they started trying to do a Black Panther project. The problem was they just kept running into.
They kept running into white producers who didn't want a Black Panther movie back in 1990-something.
Well, no, he'd actually...
It's a different time now, though.
He'd actually talked to Mario Van Peebles and John Singleton, and they couldn't get together on what the story should be. Everybody disagreed. And Marvel needed a win, because this was Howard the Duck.
Marvel was struggling.
Yeah, Howard the Duck, The Punisher, with Dolph Lundgren, and 1994's Fantastic Four, that was so bad it never even came out. So they needed a victory, and they never could quite put it together on Black Panther. So instead, they did Blade.
You know what's crazy? I'm looking at Blade's.
Man,
that's a trifecta for Mr. Hoffman.
I'm looking at Blade's box office numbers, and tell me if Black Panther is going to beat the overall global box office numbers for Blade.
Yes.
$131 million.
Yes.
Yes.
In opening weekend, I think they can hit that number.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will. But you also have to look at those were 1990 numbers. That was pretty damn good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His opening weekend numbers was $17 million, and it was the number one movie when it came out. So for $17 million, it was number one. That's crazy.
But Snipes very happy that the new Black Panther's out, though.
Oh, and it's
because he really wanted that to happen.
Yeah, and it's getting rave reviews, and it's a lot of people are saying it's one of the best Marvel movies to date. And there was this other story that came out that a bunch of angry DC fans created this Facebook group to put negative reviews on Black Panther on Rotten Tomatoes, and they're up to about 5,000 people that have joined that group.
Quit being haters.
That's just racist.
It's so bitter.
Yeah. The one cool thing in that
story. Make better movies.
Yeah.
How about that?
One cool thing that came out of that story. You know, Snipes is working again now, which is good. Because and you know what? For an old man, he still looks pretty good. He can still play some young roles.
Who, Stan Lee?
No, Wesley Snipes.
I was kidding.
He's talking about he says, I'm very much open to all the possibilities. If Blade 4 comes along, that's a conversation we can have. I would like to see Blade 4. So there are other characters in the Marvel Universe that if they want to invite me to play around with, I'm with that too. I think the fans have a hunger for me to revision the Blade character so that could limit where they place me as another character in the universe. So he wants to do more Marvel, but probably is Blade. But I'm okay with that. Let's do a Blade 4. I love those movies.
With it.
I love those movies.
But Blade, they did get worse and worse.
Yeah, except the third one had Ryan Reynolds in it. That was kind of cool.
Had Triple H and Jessica Biel.
Yeah. Wesley Snipes and U.S. Marshals. He had a good run for a while there. But, yeah, then income tax.
Yeah, it's a killer.
All right, so that I was just trying to share that with you, Jonk, so you would have something for your show. Because a guy like me would listen to you talk about Wesley Snipes and the Black Panther that never happened.
We briefly mentioned it. We went into more Black Panther negative review stuff.
Oh, so you're more about the Black Panther now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Not the Black Panther that never happened. Did you talk about the new Ant-Man trailer?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Are you excited about
that? They're doing an Ant-Man 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, it's going to come out in July. So Marvel has a... Marvel's first half of the year is very busy, and then they have nothing until the next year.
They're not doing a summertime movie?
I mean, Ant-Man and Wasp, and then Infinity War comes out in May. So that's like the first half of the year. They have three movies, and the back end of that year, back end of this year, there's nothing. Mm.
Ant-Man was one of the most underrated.
It was pretty good.
Movies of the Marvel Galaxy.
Oh, the second one looks pretty good too.
Yeah, it does. I mean, just looking at, I'm watching the trailer again, but that movie surprised the hell out of me because when I saw it. Saw what it's about. I'm like, I'm not really. This is not going to be interesting.
And like during like halfway through shooting, they had to change directors, and it was like, you know, when you're changing directors, it's never a good sign. But they put a really, really good product out there.
Yeah, and it was funny. I mean, that's the thing. That's what to me, comic book movies should be funny. I mean, that's what comic. When I was growing up, that's what comic books were.
It depends on the comic book, though.
Well, some of them, like Dark Knight, obviously.
Like, I got mad dark. When, yeah, like, I didn't like, when I was a kid, I didn't like the Batman TV show, the old Adam West Batman.
Yeah, that was
show.
Different. That was different. That was
because
very.
Because in
was
comic
campy.
Books, Batman was not a funny comic. And Batman was serious and dark, and Adam West was like a hokey Batman. I didn't like that.
Campy, yeah.
Yeah. And then even really. I mean, I guess Tim Burton tried to darken it up a little bit, but they didn't do it right until Chris Nolan. But
no.
But either way, it was. I just prefer. I want the movie to match the tone of the comic book because there's some funny comic books out there. Spider-Man can be funny.
Well, Spider-Man.
Batman shouldn't.
The
be
Spider-Man
funny.
Movies have never been as funny as the comics were.
Agreed.
Because his whole thing, he was more like what Deadpool was in terms of funny, and that none of the Spider-Man movies have actually caught that. They take him a little too seriously. And it's not, I'm not saying that's a flaw necessarily because I think some of the movies are good. But I remember Spider-Man reading that comic as a kid that it was always funny. It always made me laugh. Except for every now and then he'd get into a serious thing. But it was like a sitcom where every now and then you have, you know, somebody shows up and they might have leprosy. So that was what Spider-Man was. Deadpool did it really well with its movie. And I thought Ant-Man was hilarious. I thought they covered the comedy part of it really well, and it caught me off guard.
So in a few months, you're going to have Infinity War at the beginning of May, and then in two weeks after that, you're going to have Deadpool 2, and then a week after that, you're going to have the Solo movie. So, and they moved up Deadpool from the summer to May, which I don't think was a good idea, just because you're sandwiched in between Infinity War and a Star Wars film, but... You know, they needed to do something because they had a bunch of other stuff that got pushed back. But it's going to be a busy, busy May in terms of comic book movies.
All right. Well, that's where can we find your podcast?
On iTunes, if you search Comicast, or on podcastarena.com/Comicast.
All right. Drunk Bevo says, 6-year anniversary this Sunday and no clue what to do. Any ideas? Take her someplace nice, like B&B Butchers, or take her to Nancy's Hustle. Or Riel. Those would be my three recommendations. Any one of those would be great, but you need reservations, so get on it. All right. Or, you know what, just get her a MyBookie account because it's big game day, right? And it's time to make it interesting. You can jump in, MyBookie.ag, your place to make all the plays, and you want to bet on the coin toss, the length of the national anthem, how many quarterback sacks the team's going to have. They've got some fantastic prop bets on there, too. where you can bet number of sacks versus number of goals scored in an NHL game. So there's all these combo props. And if you join now, MyBookie's going to match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. Just use promo code FRED to activate the offer. And if you've been thinking about it, it's like, I don't want to put that much on the game, but I want to put some on it. Well, now's the time. Go to MyBookie.ag, look at all the different bets you can make. You could clean up. And they even feature in-game betting. And the best part is you win, you get paid. Join now. MyBookie will match your deposit with a 50% bonus. Use promo code FRED to activate your offer. No hassle payouts, no fine print. That's MyBookie.ag. Visit online at MyBookie.ag or call 844-900-BETS. Again, use promo code FRED. Your first deposit matched up to 50%. Call 844-900-BETS or go to MyBookie.ag. That's MyBookie.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Check out SportsMap.com, the website, not SportsMap 94.1. Houston.SportsMap.com, SportsMap.com, whichever you choose, just check it out. Follow us on Twitter at SportsMapHOU. That's the best way, because every time we post a story, it tweets it out. And you can say, oh, I want to go check out A.J. Hoffman or John Granato or Lance Zierlein or Barry Laminack or Joel Blank or Fred Fowler. Maybe not, but there you go. Hey, before we get to Hoffman on Hollywood, can I just say we have one of the weirdest bathrooms in the world up here, because like it has the mechanical room.
In the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
Like... Okay, so the way our bathroom is set up, you walk in, there's two sinks,
there's
right?
There's two sinks, yes.
There's two sinks and the paper towel area.
With a wall.
Then there's the wall has the paper towel dispenser. On the other side of the wall, there is one urinal.
Right.
Which is always covered top to bottom in urine.
Yes, and on the floor in front of it.
Then there is a small stall.
Yeah.
And then there is a handicap stall. And if you go into the handicap stall, which is against the far wall... You go inside that stall, and there's also a door there.
Yes.
That leads into another room that has, like, a bunch of... I don't know if it's radio equipment or building electrical equipment.
I think it's electrical equipment. It's called the mechanical room. And all I know is I went in there, and there were two guys in there in the room with the door open on a ladder working on stuff.
Okay.
I think they were pickle peeking.
Oh no!
Yeah, I really do.
Like only in the stall,
because they could see from where they were, and it made me very uncomfortable.
But I can't imagine.
Hashtag me too.
I can't imagine that someone.
No, I don't.
Would set up a room for that purpose.
I think that's why. Why else would you have that room there, unless you wanted a pickle peek? Just throwing that out there.
That's a good question.
All right.
I mean, other than, like, maybe it's really for electrical purposes.
Probably so. It's just a weird design, and I was trying to make a bit out of it. Let's just do Hoffman on Hollywood. Screw it.
All right. Let's start with Scott Baio, who we got to a little bit earlier this week. He appeared Wednesday on Good Morning America to plead his innocence the day after Nicole Eggert appeared on Megyn Kelly to clarify her... allegations against him. And this was the quote from Scott Baio. I don't know if you've ever been on a sitcom set.
No.
On any given day, on every day, and especially Charles in Charge, which was like a picnic every day, it's one of my favorite jobs I've ever done. There's teachers, parents, family, crew, producers, my dad. So how any of this could have happened is absolutely impossible. And I don't know how anybody could believe what she's saying when her first allegation of having sex when she was 17 has been proved to be 100% false and her story keeps changing. There's somebody, I guess somebody else on the show. I'm not that familiar with Charles in Charge, but I guess like the little sister on Charles in Charge put this around her birthday time, which Scott Baio took as gospel. Like a 12-year-old girl having her birthday was like, oh yeah, I remember Nicole Eggert, she had sex with you around my birthday. And Scott Baio's like, oh, well, your birthday's here. She was 18. He's really worried about that 17-18 line. But he does claim that they remained friends after their only sexual encounter, which, quote, she aggressively sought. She wanted me to be her first so that she would be good for her boyfriend. Baio said he's also not worried about Eggert potentially reporting him to authorities. Why would I have concern over something I didn't do? I'm being accused of inappropriately touching her when she was a minor and having sex with her when she was a minor. That's what I'm being accused of. He vehemently denies the allegations.
Isn't the statute of limitations passed on that?
I'm not sure.
I mean, it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the name of the show was Charles in Charge, of course. What do you think he was doing?
Yeah, let's go to Jerry Butler, who's an AVN Hall of Famer, Fred.
Yeah.
We're going to have to put him on death next year. Appeared in more than 500 adult movies in his career, which spanned from 81 to 93. Has died at the age of 58.
Ooh, that's not a good run.
No.
I can smell 58 from here.
No. He was a trained actor.
Smells like death.
He did some movies. He was married to the girl that played Wednesday Addams in the old Addams Family.
Yeah.
He had a good porn life, but it could not last. It could not last.
All men must die.
Yeah. They married in 1987. Loring was not happen. Lisa Loring was the Wednesday on the Addams Family. Yeah. She was not happy that he stayed in the porn industry. He continued to perform without her knowledge. Bad call.
Yeah. That's
all
not going to work for your marriage.
Even in 1987, looking them up on YouPorn.
Yeah. All right, guys. Stay sportsy, bitches.